Have a seat, everyone.
Thanks so much, Greg and team. Good morning, everybody. How you doing today? Glad to see you. Welcome to our first service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. Let me thank you for your participation last Sunday, the way you supported and prayed and attended and were part of our Super Sunday Bring a Friend Day, and I thought it was just an excellent day. And would you agree? I thought it was just a really, really fine day. And anyway, thank you for that. And also last night, the teen mission auction. You know, the great thing about that, it's just emblematic of the way this church is behind missions and behind our young people. And for years, you provide our senior class with a hands-on missions opportunity. And that pays dividends down the line because they have a heart for missions. Some of them become missionaries. They're going to be on missions committees. They're going to have a heart. They're going to have a global view for what God's doing around the world. And that's a fantastic, fantastic thing. Hey, let me just remind you now that any milestone event, you get engaged, you're celebrating a 25th wedding anniversary, your 100th birthday, your 30th wedding anniversary, 50, 55, your 60th wedding anniversary, and anything after 60, 61, 62, you know, all that stuff. Well, today, actually, we have a couple in our church celebrating this week their 66th wedding anniversary. JV and Geneva Weaver. JV and Geneva, would you stand up? Where are they? Right here. That's so funny, and because every year I'll usually, you know, tell JV, you need to kiss Geneva. Come on. Well, Geneva, she was leaning over saying, come on, let's go, you know? Oh, we love you both. Randy, did you get a photo of that? Great. Thank you so much. JV says, I'm happy to do it again if you like. So, you know. By the way, ask JV after church, go up to him and say, JV, what do the initials JV stand for? So I'll let you ask him, okay? Don't be thinking about that during the sermon, okay? Let me put a photo up here on the screen. It's a photo of a road sign to the city of Corinth. Corinth, real place, real people. Real issues. And right now we're in a message series from the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. And I've entitled the first few chapters, Great Church Fights, because this was a church full of good people. I mean, they love Jesus, but they're growing in Jesus, and they have some relational tension going on, and Paul will address it. Occasionally, you'll hear somebody say, in such a well-meaning way, wouldn't it be wonderful to have been a part of the first century church? And I just wish, you know, we could go back and be more like the first century church. Well, sometimes we kind of paint the picture. We think, you know, it was utopia. It wasn't utopia. Real people, real challenges, real issues. And so today, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, talking about spiritual maturity. And the title of this message is Raising Saints, okay? All right, let's start here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, so he's talking to fellow Christians. I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that there are basically three categories of people. You've got one category, you've got non-Christians, people who don't have the Spirit. They may be pre-Christian. But right now, they don't operate by the Holy Spirit. And then you've got people who do operate by the Holy Spirit. And then you've got this third category, folks who are Christians, but they are sort of resistant to the Spirit. They don't repent well. They don't change well. They don't grow. Have you ever driven a car? Have you ever been behind somebody who's riding the brake? You know, and they're driving along, and they just constantly, they've got their foot on the brake. That would be sort of like the folks here in Corinth, several of them. They have the Holy Spirit, They're Christians, and the Holy Spirit wants to take them along and push them along, but they've got their foot on the brake. They're just a little stubborn. They're resistant. They're hesitant. They're growing, but they're not growing as quickly as they could because they continually ride the brake. Now, they're involved in their church. It's not like these are people who don't go to church. They're involved in their church. In fact, a lot of them, they're very passionate. And they've got their favorite teacher, their favorite style. And in fact, that's part of the challenges right here. They've got their, not just their preferences, but actually their prejudices. And so he says, you know, I wanted to write to you as people who live by the Spirit, but you're worldly. You're mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. I think that's kind of funny. Have you ever been called a baby? I didn't say a babe. I said, have you ever been called a baby? You know, you act like a baby. That's what Paul says to the church. Yeah, like a bunch of babies. Now, is there anything wrong with being a baby? Answer, no, when you're a baby. Oh, yeah, I just had a granddaughter a couple of weeks ago. That's Ruby Elizabeth. And you know, Ruby Elizabeth, she's coming over to our house today for lunch, and she's absolutely wonderful. But let me tell you, she does not help at all. She is no help whatsoever. She's coming over to the house today for lunch, and you know, she's not going to help set the table. She won't pick up anything. She decides she wants to yell. She just yells. She decides she wants her mom immediately. She wants her mom right now. Anything wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. She's a baby. That's what babies do. Babies are babies. Babies create emergencies for adults. You know, throw the rattle on the floor, you got to pick it up. Throw the rattle on the floor again, you got to pick it up. Throw the rattle on the floor again, you don't pick it up, I scream. That's what babies do. Paul says, you're acting like a bunch of babies. You're just operating the way you sort of want to flow. And that's an immature person. The immature person says, hey, everybody look after me. Everybody notice me. And what's urgent to me needs to be urgent to you. And if I'm screaming and yelling, you need to run. But a mature person says, you know, there are more people here than me. I can contribute to. I can give to. I can serve as well. And I can be a part of something that's bigger than me. And that's what Paul is telling this church right here. Let me put a definition of spiritual maturity up on the screen. The way he defines it in this context. Spiritual maturity is the acceptance of functional and relational responsibility in your church. Where he says, you take on a sense of responsibility, listen carefully, for the morale of your group. You take on a sense of responsibility for the morale of your group. Now, let me pause for a moment, and let's just talk growth and maturity in general here. And I want to put some questions up here on the screen. I want you to think about these. The first one is, how has God matured you already? Because he has. And I want you to think about that. I want you to celebrate some of the ways you've seen God at work in your life. Because you've seen God at work in your life. You've seen the way your behaviors have changed. You've seen the way that your thinking patterns have changed. And you've got several victories. You've climbed a few hills over the way. You've slain a few dragons along the way. And you've seen progress, and you've seen maturity happen. And you need to look at that and say, you know, God's been at work in my life, and that's fantastic. And he's going to continue to be at work in your life. What was it the Bible says? He who started a good work in you is going to see it all the way through. And that's fantastic. But I got a second question. What areas of your life are spiritually immature now? And in a group this size, I mean, We've got various items. And you work with the Holy Spirit and you pray and you say, God, search me. And God will do that, and the Holy Spirit will bring points of advancement in your life. Thirdly, third question, at what point will those immature areas get attention? Is there any sense of urgency here? And I think that's what's been going on here in the Corinthian church, where Paul looks at these folks and he says, you know, back when you were a baby, and you used to throw your rattle on the floor and yell and scream, and whatever's urgent for you needed to be urgent. That was really cute when you were a baby. It's not cute anymore. You know, it was really cute when you were a baby, how you just sort of, you know, would be there and you wanted everybody else to kind of, you know, carry you on. That was really fun and cute when you were a baby. It's not cute anymore. When you were a baby and you wanted to yell and scream, that was cute. It's not cute anymore. And I'm asking you to accept some functional and some relational responsibility in your church, and to have a sense of urgency about it, so that I go from the immature person who's, you know, constantly saying, here, feed me, you know, to the mature person who can help others. Well, then in verse 3, what he does, he transitions into some specifics in the way that the Corinthian church, anyway, they were displaying some of their immaturity. He says, verse 3, you're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, well, I follow Apollos, are you not mere humans? Now, I think this is interesting to me. He says, the way you display your immaturity in the church is through jealousy and quarreling. Now, that is so foreign to us in our Western culture, because we think maturity is what? Head knowledge. It's all head knowledge. Oh, I'm mature. Hey, I've read these books. I get on these blogs. I'm willing to have these points of discussion. I'm mature. I know stuff. In the Corinthian church, they love to debate. They love to dialogue. They had their favorite teachers. They knew stuff. But Paul says, but you're not accepting responsibility for the morale of your family. And you're more than happy to be jealous and compare and argue. And in so doing, you display spiritual immaturity. The ancient Eastern churches did not have scholars and professors. You remember the term they used to use? Church fathers. In other words, let me see your devotion to the church. Let me see your commitment to the body of Christ. And then we will take your scholarship seriously. You've heard me mention, and John, you gave me a book one time about Coach John Wooden. And I know he's a hero of yours and a hero of mine. Coach John Wooden, who won 10 national championships at UCLA, he was known for always having a program rolled up like that. But since 1942, he would keep in his pocket a small cross. Like I've got a little key right here. But he would just have a cross in his pocket. And he would hold on to it during games. Hold on to it during practices. And when things got a little tense, he would say, this reminds me of what's most important. This reminds me of who I am. And in the ebb of flow of life, this is my center. And so Paul says to this church, full of people who love Jesus, but they've gotten into these fits of jealousy and quarreling and, you know, the chips on their shoulder, and they're easily offended, and they're not ready to reconcile. And he doesn't even try to solve it. He just says, knock it off. Verse 5, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants. See that word servants? It literally means busboy. You know who Apollos is? He's a busboy. You know who I am? I'm a busboy. And Paul knows that you're going to have favorites. You're going to have favorite songs. You're going to have favorite styles. You're going to have favorite teachers. You're going to have certain people who spoke to you at a critical time of your life, and they are near and dear to you. You're going to have somebody who made an impression upon you at a particular time in your life. Hey, nothing wrong with that. Have your preferences. Have certain people you really appreciate, but don't let it become cliques and party spirits and comparisons. And I'm for this guy, but I'm against this guy. I'm for this lady, but against this lady. And some of you are going around, I got on my Apollos jersey. Well, I got on my Paul jersey. He says, who are we? We're busboys. I can't change a life. I can't save a soul. Apollos can't change a heart. Only God can do that. And we're just busboys. That's all we are. Who's Apollos? What's Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God's the one who's been making it grow. He says, we're just tools. Like a rake. Like a hammer. Like a shovel. We're just tools. And God's using us. And so there's no need to quarrel over tools. No need to have quarrels that have to do with style rather than substance. There is no difference in the substance between Paul and Apollos. There's a difference in their style. But don't let style become the source of a great church fight. We're just tools. That's it. Just tools. Just busboys. And the great example of this, the foundation of this kind of humility, the foundation of this kind of unity, is Jesus himself. Because what did Jesus do? Jesus, our great God, comes to earth, humbles himself, empties himself. And Jesus himself said, I did not come to be served like an immature baby. I came to serve like a grown man or woman, and to give my life as a ransom for many. And Jesus gives his life away, and that's our God. He's a giver, not a taker. He is selfless, not selfish. And Paul says, let the example of our great Jesus be your role model. So, who's Paul? Who's Apollos? We're just servants. Verse 7, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. And the one who plants and the one who waters will have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we together, we are all co-workers in God's service, and we're God's field, you're God's field, God's building. Okay, I got three take-home points, and here they are. Here's the first one. Would you continue to pray regularly for the harmony in our church? And I'm thankful that as I stand here today, I stand on a platform of harmony and unity, but we are not exempt. We need to continue to pray and work for unity and harmony and togetherness. Secondly, attach a high value to every other person in this church. Every other busboy, every other busgirl, we attach a high value to them. And thirdly, would you be willing to accept personal responsibility for the morale of our church, for your group, for your segment? Because, gang, look around. This is not a rock star church. There's no rock star here who can make things happen. It takes all of us, hundreds of us together, accepting responsibility. There's no rock star here who writes a big boy check that covers. It takes all of us together participating. There's no rock star prayer warrior here who has such a direct line to God that as long as that one person prays, everything. No, it takes all of us together praying. And we're all here, I believe, by divine appointment to write history together right here, serving God in this place at this time. Now, even the most mature Christian has relapses. What do you do when you have a relapse? You apologize, you repent, you turn to God, and you pick it up again, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to close. I want to tell you a story that I actually told this past Wednesday night in our uplift service, but I think that it fits. It sort of illustrates what I'm trying to talk about, of somebody who accepted responsibility for the morale of his group. And as I mentioned a name, I'm not trying to be political, but it's John McCain. John McCain, as you know, spent time as a prisoner of war in Vietnam. In fact, he was in the Hanoi Hilton for 5.5 years. And for much of that time, he was in solitary confinement, and most all of the American POWs were kept in either solitary confinement or at the most 2 or 3 to a room. But in 1971, some changes came about. And now the American POWs were kept together in larger groups, 30 or 40 together in a larger room. And now, in 1971, they were also able to receive some care packages from home. Well, John McCain said that he met a fellow naval aviator by the name of Mike Christian. And Mike Christian, that's a photo of Mike Christian. Mike Christian was from a small town in Alabama. He had been captured in 1967, so he had been a POW for several years. And now here they are in a larger room. And Mike Christian did something in his shirt. He said their prisoner of war attire consisted of a blue shirt, very nondescript looking pants, look like pajama pants, and rubber shoes. But as I mentioned, starting in 1971, they could get care packages from home. And so Mike Christian would take pieces of red cloth, pieces of white cloth, and he fashioned himself a little bamboo needle. And since his shirt was blue, on the inside of his shirt, he would take this white cloth and red cloth, and he sewed an American flag inside his blue shirt. You know, nobody could see it but him. But every afternoon, the POWs would gather around. They got a bowl of soup in the afternoon, and Mike Christian would take off his shirt, and they would hang it on the wall. And they would gather, and they would say, the Pledge of Allegiance. And John McCain said, you wouldn't think that that would be such an important part of the day, but it was an incredibly important part of the day. And Mike Christian was doing that for us. He kept pointing us back to the big picture, that we were a part of something larger than ourselves. And one day, though, that flag was discovered. And that night, some of our captors, according to McCain, came to our cell. They took Mike Christian. They took him away for 2 hours. And according to McCain, I'm quoting him, for the benefit of us all, quote unquote, beat him mercilessly. 2 hours later, they throw him back in the cell. McCain said, we did all we could do to try to comfort and help Mike Christian. His eyes were swollen. He had been beaten silly. McCain says there was a concrete area in the center of the room where most of the guys would sleep, and they had 4 naked light bulbs around the room. McCain said when he was going to sleep that night, he opened one eye and he looked in the corner, and there over in the corner was Mike Christian with his shirt off, his eyes swollen, with a bamboo needle, red cloth, white cloth, starting again on another American flag. Doing it not just for his benefit, but saying, I'm going to accept responsibility for this group. I'm going to keep pointing them back to what values most. Will you continue to be that kind of person? I got to tell you, this, you know, I'm thankful for the babies in our church. I'm thankful for the people in our church who are brand new and finding their way. And we want to care for you and love you. But I'm also thankful for the many of you here who accept responsibility for the functioning and for the relational health of our church family. Let's keep it up. Now, if you're not yet a Christian, today you can take a step in that direction. You have in your order of worship a communication card. I'm going to ask that you fill out that communication card. If you've got a prayer request, there's a place there where you can write out a prayer request. If you want to talk to somebody about baptism or about moving towards a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can indicate so on that communication card. If you're ready to identify with our church, you can indicate on that card a desire to talk to somebody in our church about becoming a member here. And we would welcome that opportunity. Now, what we're going to do now, we're going to take a moment and we're going to sing together. And we're going to be praying together. You can pray right where you are, but we're going to have some elder couples down front. And you are invited to come down here and to pray with them. Whatever may be on your heart. It may be something joyful. It may be something heavy. You want to intercede for another person, whatever it may be. This is a great time for you to do that. So let's be standing together. Let's be praying. Elder couples, if you'll make your way down front, and let's come before the Lord with whatever we have.